Hey everybody, happy Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, we're back, and neighbor across the street happens to be mowing the lawn on his damn ride-on lawnmower. Just making all that fucking noise.
So if you can hear something in the background, that's what it is. Yeah. It's our people across the street are mowing the lawn.
We finally got around to doing Zardoz.
I could have sworn we did Zardoz before, like on a movie retrospective a long time ago.
Guess we didn't.
Because we watched it. Couple years back, I remember. Because I had actually never seen the whole thing straight through. I had just seen, like, parts of it.
Yeah.
And I think we watched Shitcase Cinema about it. Because it's like, he loves that fucking movie. And he even does, like, jokes about it still. Even though he did that review, like, 8 years ago. So I was like, yeah, we really got to get around and watch it.
Zardoz gets a reputation for being a crazy-ass fucking movie.
It is kind of crazy.
It's not as crazy as you think it is. I went back and we watched it again last night. If you have the subtitles on, so you can read it, it makes a lot more sense. All right, because some of the dialogue gets kind of lost in the visuals, and they made a big error by opening the movie up with like an introduction that has a floating head talking to you. Some dude, and he's telling you that this might happen in your
future.
With a
mustache and beard drawn on. Yeah. With like an eyeliner.
I'm a god, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So that kind of disorients you from the very beginning. I would re-edit that movie without that introduction and just allow people to wonder what the fuck is going on.
Well, see, I think that, actually, if you guys didn't know, this was written, directed, and produced by John Borman, prior to this had done Deliverance.
Yeah.
And after this did Exorcist II, The Heretics.
So. He also did Excalibur.
And he did Excalibur.
Which I love Excalibur.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, good movie.
So he makes, like, really good shit and, you know, some kind of questionable shit. Because, like I said, Exorcist II is not so good. But I think that the...
Now I gotta see it.
You've never seen Exorcist 2?
No.
It's awful. Yeah, but really? It's awful and it's entertaining.
Maybe it's better than you think it is if you go back and watch it. I don't know.
No, because I just watched it like a year or two ago. I'm like, good. Yep, okay. It still sucks. But okay. You know what I mean? I tried. I did.
Yeah.
But
this is actually a high quality movie. It's very intelligent. And it's a wild ass story. And everything in this movie came true, basically. It's about transhumanism, breakaway civilizations, population control, fucking vengeance. All that stuff is in there. It's very much a movie of its time. During this time, they're doing Soylent Green. They're doing Planet of the Apes. They're doing apocalyptic-type movies that involve, you know, world catastrophes. And that's what this is. It's a world catastrophe. And it's just the way that this movie is presented. It's a world catastrophe in a psychedelic hippie England is what it's like. It's fucking bizarre. Make a lot of sense.
What I was going to say was that what I was going to say when I was saying that it was John Borman was that he actually, as far as I could determine, he did not actually want that prequel with the floating head.
Good thing.
That was just kind of like the studio that added that because they thought that it was... And to you, well, like, when we were watching that last night, like, one, it's super cheesy, okay?
Yeah.
Which, you know, that makes it more entertaining, but it didn't really need to be there because they introduced the concept of that guy, Arthur Frayne, like, who that is, like, in the first 10 or 15 minutes of the movie.
It's
so
redundant.
It's like, you don't really need to know that right out of the gate. I think it would have been better to just start without that and let people, like, figure it out on their own.
I would re-release Zardoz, a director's cut, and fucking cut that out of there. And that movie would be a lot better without that. What do you call it? It's not only an introduction, it's... What do you do when you have fucking somebody explaining shit?
It's like a narration, like
the
an
narration.
Opening narration. Yeah,
you don't fucking need it. It actually sucks the wind out of the movie. It's better when it starts right after that. As soon as that's over, it's good. And it's just this fucking weird-ass apocalyptic scene. These dudes running around in fucking orange shorts with fucking bandoliers.
Little diapers.
Angry heads and fucking, you know, in this huge stone... gumdrop shaped fucking.
I love that big floater
face of an angry god.
It looks so good.
Out. Yeah, it looks
so good.
Looks great. Comes out of the fucking mist of the sky, and they're worshiping it. And it goes the. They're going Zardos, Zardos. They're all fucking chirping. It's coming. Like what the fuck? They had like slaves with them that were toiling the fucking soil and shit. And it comes out and it goes. The gun is good. The penis is evil. And they're going, yeah, yeah. The penis shoots seeds. And those seeds become man, which destroys the earth. The gun shoots death and destroys man and purifies the earth. You know, fucking is spitting out all these damn guns. They're getting new guns and shit.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah. You're like, wow, and then the fucking head takes off and fucking...
I mean, that's quite an opening.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck? And that's really how the movie was supposed to start. Not this fucking floating funny man head that it was like Wizard of Oz shit. Which there is Wizard of Oz references in this. And, man, I wish they'd cut that intro out.
We can just pretend it's not there.
Pretend it's not there. But
you can just skip over it.
It really has supposed to have a really strong start like that. And then in that flying head fucking out of the fucking grain, a bunch of big pile of grain, because they put all the crop yields inside the head. Fucking, pow, fucking 007 comes out of there. Sean Connery. Sean Connery's naked ass fucking pops up out of there, and he's got a fucking Webley 455 revolver, and he's looking around, and they got people in plastic bags and fucking supplies and shit, and he sees a dude, little wizard like little motherfucker, run down, and he shoots him, pow, like that, and he goes, I could have shown you, and the dude fell out, you know, what a waste, and he falls out of the mouth, and the head fucking lands in this place called the Dam Vortex.
The Vortex.
And the Vortex, there's many Vortexes. The Vortex is like a little British farm town. You know, people are out there making bread and, you know. But
hanging out.
He finds his way into there and fucking...
Riding horses with their titties flopping about.
Yeah. Now...
As one does.
Now, the lead character in this movie is this... you know, Sean Connery's playing this guy named Zed. He was the one that killed the dude and was up in the dam. Gumball head. Called it the gumball godhead. And he's real intelligent. He gets there and figures out how to fucking use a personal computer and fucking can see that certain things are holograms and voice-activated computers. And it's just weird. They recognize him as an outsider. And they know what he is. He's an executioner. And it turns out all these people that live in this vortex are immortals, that they don't die. If their bodies are destroyed, they just respawn and rehatch in the center of a town in this big, what do they call it, tabernacle? I think it's what they called it. And everybody's in there. They're all equal and they're all intelligent. And they're all fucking hippie-ish and fucking kind of pansexual looking or genderless kind of in a way. But he finds out that because they're 200-something years old, they don't have sex. They don't fucking...
Well, because they don't need to. They don't need to reproduce anymore because they don't die.
Yeah, they don't reproduce. They don't have sex. They don't...
They don't sleep.
They don't sleep. They don't really do much of anything, and they're getting... They get so bored, they'll become kind of fucking... They just stand around and do nothing. What do they call them?
There's some that have gotten so bored with existence that now they're called the apathetics.
The apathetics,
that's so they just, like, kind of stand around in a barn and just, like,
look at nothing. Just stand there, the apathetics. And then some of them start to fucking try to rock the boat, bunk the system, and call bullshit on the way things are being run. So they punish them by aging them. They don't kill them, but they just age them. And they can age them so much to where they just become senile. And they put them off in this fucking old folks home where they're dressed up in fucking tuxedos and shit like they're in a nightclub. And they can't really remember a whole lot.
Yes, they're just like dancing around.
Yeah, what were they
crazy.
Called? They
the
were
Renegades. Called
the Renegades, that's right. Yeah. So Zed realizes that because, you know, he makes a friend in there called Friend. He makes makes a friend in there called Friend. And Friend tells him that, the dude that you killed in the fucking Zardos head was a friend of mine, and He's been running the outside world for us the past 200 and something years, and we don't really know, we don't know what he was up to.
He's out there fucking
just doing his own thing. Yeah, each one of them has a job, and there's no government to answer to, so they just do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, mostly it looked like they just kind of baked green loaves of bread.
Yeah, they all had to be equal. So to do that, they had to cook their own food. And
yeah, everybody had to do their own shit.
They had to do their own chores.
Yeah, you had to clean up after yourself. Yeah. You had to cook for yourself.
Unless they were apathetic, they just stood there and they'd just pile them up in the barn and they'd feed them, give them some bread, and they'd just stand there. They were kind of like the mentally ill. But turns out that, what was the Zardoz guy's name?
Arthur Frayne.
Frayne. So it turns out Arthur Frayne was selectively breeding people.
The Brutals, that's what they call them.
The Brutals were the regular people.
Well, they were all called that, outside.
Yeah, I guess they were all called Brutals. Just Brutals, right.
Yeah.
Now, some of the Brutals were given the job of executioner. Their job was to just go out and just annihilate them. And they were just hunters, and they would just hunt down other humans and kill them, and to keep the Earth's population low. That way, they wouldn't overpopulate and threaten the vortex cities. Where basically it's like Google smart cities, but they look like they're green though. They're green energy. They're carbon neutral, I guess you could say. They don't have any technology. Well, they have technology, but it's all masked. It just looks real primitive.
Well, they kind of have. I mean, the tabernacle is essentially like the internet.
Yeah, it's a supercomputer.
And they can talk
internet.
Into their rings, which is kind of weird. It's kind of like a smartphone, actually.
Yeah, like a smartphone.
And you can just ask it questions and it'll tell you shit. You know what I mean?
So the vortexes are keeping the external population of Brutals down. They're keeping them low so they don't. So the populations don't get big enough to threaten them. You find out later that. How the vortex started, they were rich people. Rich people and smart people and business people. The Earth started to overpopulate. It started to die off. So they built these basically smart cities is what they were and hooked them together with the internet. And then they had a shield wall around them that people couldn't penetrate. And then they released these people, these executioners to go out there and kill them. Kill the humans, like fucking Planet of the Apes. Well, Zed was one of them. Zed had a bunch of friends. All his friends were executioners. Well, Arthur was selectively breeding them by command. So they were getting smarter and smarter as they were going along. They were becoming kind of like a new species. Kind of like a noble savages is what you'd call them in literature today. Where they were barbaric, but they were real intelligent. Because the vortexes started to fail and so many of them were going renegade and so many of them were coming apathetic, there weren't enough of them that were active. There weren't enough active ones to grow food inside the vortexes. So they told all the damn executioners to stop killing people and start capturing them, enslaving them, and making them grow crops. And the executioners weren't real happy about that.
We want to kill people.
Yeah, right. Well, they felt that they had been betrayed by Zardoz. Their god had fucking changed his plan. So you find out later that Zed learned how to read. Somebody encouraged him to learn how to read in a library. He never saw the guy.
Well, they tell you who it is.
They tell you who it is later.
Yeah.
He learned to read, and while he was reading in the library, he learned how the world used to be and how the vortexes came about and the human depopulation plan, how that came about. So he and the other executioners hatched this plan for Zed to stow away inside the fucking Zardoz head to go back to wherever it came from, and he was going to signal them and tell them where it went and drop the shield wall and let them in to invade it and kill everybody for revenge. But it didn't go that smoothly. A bunch of other shit happened. It's a good movie.
Well, the thing about it, too, was that the Eternals, the people that lived in the Vortex, they wanted to die.
Turns out they wanted to die because they were sick of immortality.
Because they were sick of being immortal, and they're just they just wanted something to happen. So it was just kind of like, when they got invaded at the end, they were just like, yay! Please kill us.
Yeah, but that didn't really help Zed because the Vortex supercomputer wouldn't allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Because it was designed to protect the people at all costs. It was coddling them.
Yeah, that was kind of written into the programming, like when they first started it. This is the movie is actually set in the year 2293.
Yeah,
actually.
Now, it was a pretty ambitious story.
Yeah,
it was real well done, actually, with the budgets and the technology of the time. The only thing that is really wrong with this film is that beginning intro, and then the scene where he goes into the computer crystal. It's run by he goes into their version of the internet, and he has to defeat the supercomputer from within it somehow. Because of the technology of the time, they really couldn't. It just ended up being like a trippy head trip, him in like a fun house with a bunch of damn mirrors.
Mirrors of people going.
Seeing himself, yeah, woo, doing impressionistic dancing, and fucking he's shooting at stuff. And somehow,
oh, the 70s.
Somehow he kills him, an image of himself in there, and that somehow, it's not really explained, somehow that short circuits the computer, which allows Zed to come out and deactivate the shield wall. And all his buddies run in and start fucking killing everybody, you know. And they're going, kill me. And they're fucking, I want to die. And it's kind of cheesy. Yeah. And they're laughing about it, laughing about dying. And a bunch of other stuff happens. The edit, and then it's the edit of the final scenes is kind of uneven.
Yeah, it gets a little messy towards the end.
Modern technology and a tighter edit, I think, would clean that up. And then in the end, it had a weird sequence where Zed and the former high priestess of the tabernacle, I guess she was like a high priestess, is probably what you would call her, they escaped together and had a son, and then the son leaves. They're living in a cave, and it shows like fast motion, and then they grow old and die, and are two skeletons sitting there. It's just a...
Yeah, they're saying
way.
That it's gone back to like the quote unquote natural.
It went back to the natural way. The whole moral of the story, the whole lesson is that transhumanism and breakaway civilizations and people trying to live forever and people separating themselves into master classes and slave classes and shit, that it's not natural, that it's not sustainable. And they're trying to be all ecologically conscious, but they kind of twisted it into a knot. That's not the way ecology is. People are supposed to live, have children, and die. And mankind maybe is supposed to die out if it has to. It's not normal to stop that process. That's what it meant. But it's a good movie. Good movie.
It's weird because I kind of feel like when this came out, this amazed me. I didn't even realize. So John Borman, he had just made Deliverance, right? Which was a massive, massive hit. So the studios were basically, after that, they were like, carte blanche, you can make whatever you want.
Yeah.
However, when he came at them with this script, which he had written, what ended up happening was that he actually wanted to do a Lord of the Rings thing. He wanted to do an adaptation of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So he came to the studio and said, I want to do an adaptation of Lord of the Rings. And they're like, yeah, no, that's going to cost like $50 bajillion. No. So, so he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll just write a new story, like, in a weird world. It wasn't supposed to be initially, like, super far in the future, but he was kind of more interested in doing, like, sci-fi, but not, you know, in post-apocalyptic, but more kind of philosophical, I guess, if you want to go that way. Like I said, just what would happen if people actually did live forever? Like, would they actually just get sick of it after a while? So he wanted to sort of, like, explore those kind of things. Now, interestingly, Sean Connery was not the first choice. It was supposed to be Burt Reynolds. Because Burt Reynolds had just been in Deliverance, so he had just worked with him, so he wanted him to be in it.
That would have been good, actually.
But then Burt Reynolds got sick, right. Like he had some kind of illness, and so he couldn't do it, so they got Sean Connery. Because Sean Connery, I guess, he had just done Diamonds Are Forever, like he had just stopped doing like the Bond movies, and he hadn't really been getting much work after that.
Burt Reynolds would have been better in this role.
You
now
think?
Now I understand why Sean Connery had a Burt Reynolds mustache.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Well, can we make him look like Burt Reynolds? So he puts that big fucking Smokey and the Bandit stash on him.
Sean Connery was taller than Burt Reynolds, but Burt Reynolds had a kind of a better build.
He was about what he wanted. Somebody that was kind of like, you know, stocky. Like kind of a big dude.
Yeah, fucking. I think Burt Reynolds would have looked a lot better.
Whereas Sean Connery is like was in good shape, but he's like more tall and he's like leaner.
Yeah.
You know, where Burt Reynolds was like kind of more muscular.
Burt would have been better.
Well, he couldn't do it, that's why. But he was actually the first choice.
Burt's fucking cockiness would have come through.
That's true. Honestly, Zed in this, the character, doesn't really have a lot of lines.
No, he
he's
kind of
like supposed to be the strong, silent type, I guess.
Yeah, and you can tell he's comes across, if you ask me, just comes across as an Englishman. He's just a little bit too civilized. Reynolds kind of had that fucking swagger to him. Reynolds could fucking come off a little bit better as a barbarian, I think. Especially around all those British actors.
Yeah, because I guess he would be the only one talking like an American. Wouldn't it have been funny if he'd have been in there like talking like Smokey and the Bandit and he'd had like a southern accent?
Yeah.
That would have been so funny.
This movie could be remade and it would be badass with today's technology if it was done right.
Yeah, another thing is that I was amazed to discover that this movie only cost $1.5 million to make.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, the cinematography and the visuals in this are pretty awesome, like, considering that it was that cheap.
They're in there mentioning Logan's Run. I was saying the same thing to Jenny when we were watching.
Yeah, it has a very Logan's Run-y kind of.
This is very much like a British Logan's Run.
Sort of. I mean, it has a lot of differences, too.
Yeah, but a lot of original thinking, but is that same post-apocalyptic kind of Huxley style, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there was a lot of these kind of movies in the 70s,
This was a time for those. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
It just had some flaws to it, but it does have character. It's got a lot of character to it. The costumes are kind of fucking out there. They're very 70s. I really wouldn't address the executioners that way. To me, those boots look very store bought to me. Very, you know, the fucking 70s fucking thigh high type boots. They were like right out of fucking. I would have dressed them more kind of like Native Americans. You know, buckskin pants with. Fucking, you know, leather buckskin boots, and just probably bare chested or something.
Yeah, which they mostly were.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it looked better because, like I said, it would be good if you were going to a convention and if you could get some thigh high boots and a red kind of diaper Speedo situation and some red bandoliers, and then you'd have to have the mask too.
Yeah, that mask.
Because some of them had those masks on that were like front and back, like Janice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, where it had like a face on either side, and they looked like the Zardoz head, but they were kind of red.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Whereas the Zardoz head was kind of like looked like a big stone head or plaster.
I basically
would
have had them hooked up like fucking Apache warriors with those damn masks and M16s and stuff. Which some of those guys did have M16s.
Yeah, that'd
have been really cool.
I mean, the 70s was kind of like a fashion tragic decade, largely. Yeah. So it's like. You know, you're not gonna. Somebody, Oracle said about Charlotte Rampling being great in this, and she is. And it's really weird. And somebody mentioned Orca too, and we actually watched Orca before this.
Yeah, that was.
And I had forgotten that Charlotte Rampling was also in Orca, so I was like, oh my god, we had an accidental Charlotte Rampling double feature.
Orca was a good movie.
We'll probably talk about that one tomorrow. Yeah. Because I had just been wanting to watch it because I remember watching it a bunch of times when I grew up and I was like, ah, man, I need to see that again. But then Tom's like, let's watch Zardoz. And I was like, okay. Yeah. Now, the thing about it, I think the first time I saw it, we watched Zardoz a couple years back, probably like 3 years ago, 2 years, something like that. And I remember being like, wow, that was weird as shit. I mostly like followed it and everything. But this time watching it, I guess because I had gotten over, man, this is so fucking weird, and I was actually following all the dialogue, and like you said, we had the closed captioning on, which always helps because my hearing is bad, so it's always kind
of
like...
Well, it also helps to keep track of exactly what was said because you read it.
You
read it and heard it.
So, I mean, I always like to have closed captioning on, even if I, you know, I'm in a quiet room because it's just in case I miss something or somebody mumbles. So having that on really helped me follow the stuff. And I was like, really, for the first 2/3 of the movie, I was kind of like, wow, this actually isn't really confusing.
No.
Because I kind of had the impression the first time I watched it that it was kind of like confusing.
It's because that intro.
Yeah.
The whiplash of that intro.
It's not confusing, though. I mean, like, the last part of it goes a little doolally, where he's kind of like, oh, that's a crystal, and now I'm inside it, and suddenly... Yeah. I didn't get that.
That was a...
Well, I mean, I got it, but I didn't get why him doing that one thing, like, made...
No.
Like, broke it. I don't know.
It didn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it was whatever technology, kind of.
Yeah.
Each person in the vortex and all the other vortexes had a crystal implanted into their head.
Yeah.
Which allowed the computer to... allowed them to be able to communicate with the supercomputer, and it stored all their thoughts and memories so that when they responded, or excuse me, when they respond in the damn...
Into the baby.
Into the rebat, into the rebooting baby batch, they would have the memories of the former life. Somehow he was able to get inside that crystal. Didn't really explain how. When he woke up, it was still in his hand, so I guess he went into it mentally. And he somehow defeated it, but it doesn't quite explain it. It was kind of like whatever technology.
Yeah, I didn't really get, like, why... I didn't get, like, the symbolism of him shooting himself and inside the crystal, and then that somehow destroyed the crystal somehow.
Yeah, it didn't... It was... Maybe it made sense if you read a book about it, but...
But this wasn't even from a book. This is an original story.
Okay.
It's like just, I said, the director also wrote the story.
It was whatever technology.
Yeah.
They just had to get it done somehow. So, and budgetary constraints and the technology of the time and the understandings of computers and technology of the time wasn't very good. They just kind of made things up.
Yeah.
The idea of implants and internets and thought activated stuff is not far off.
That's what I'm saying. So I was going to say that probably back in the 70s, this would have seemed like a lot weirder.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really have anything that was sort of like a real world...
Internet.
You know, they didn't have that. So it's like nowadays people are like, oh, like a crystal implant and like, you know, they're all like up, you know, hooked up to the internet.
They're uploading their memories. And
right. Like that, most people get that concept now. So it's not that strange.
Yeah.
It was mostly just little things that I didn't get.
The idea of uploading your consciousness into a machine, you know, they're already trying to figure out how to do that. So it's within possibility. And then the whole idea of rich people in a breakaway civilization just trying to protect themselves from a world of starving masses of people who are destroying ecology. That's something understandable now. You think that maybe they could do that, or that they are doing that, controlling population by various means, you know, imploding, exploding economies and starting wars and releasing diseases and weird shit, you know, that they do. That's what this is talking about. And fucking Zed does commentary on that at the end. He ends up being a Superman. He ends up knowing everything they know. Everything the computer knew, too, didn't he? He ended up basically
because they taught him everything that was in the crystal, like when he went in there.
Right.
Because the crystal was like, penetrate me, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay.
So he had all the old world knowledge that he read when he was in the libraries. All that old world savagery from fucking killing all those people, and he knew the human cost of things. And then he knew all their high-tech stuff and all their new age stuff. So they were getting back to kind of the old school concept of the noble savage, a dude who has the power of creation and destruction. He has
getting back to the balance.
Power of this and that. It's balance.
Yeah,
we're talking about balance.
Yeah, because he had all the things. He was like been trained as a savage, but he also was genetically engineered, and he was civilized as well.
Yeah, he was also learning faster than them because he had been genetically genetically engineered, but selectively bred.
Yeah.
To be more intelligent, faster, and stronger, even though he wasn't educated, it didn't matter. I mean, he was learning things just on his own.
Well, I think there was a kind of a throwaway line in there that said that he remembered everything that he heard.
Yeah.
Like he had, you know, like photographic memory, essentially, like that.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, it was just like one line, but I'm pretty sure it was in there.
Well, that guy tested him and started throwing out lines from classic literature. And he
could like
remember.
T.S. Eliot.
T.S. Eliot and stuff.
Which I kind of feel like a lot. This movie is kind of, you know, so it does kind of go in this philosophical, kind of high-minded literature kind of thing. So it does have, you know, I think at the time people criticized it for being kind of, like, pretentious or being, like, over-ambitious for the budget and stuff. You know, but it really does have a lot of, I don't know, I kind of feel like maybe it is a little overindulgent, but that's okay. Honestly, it doesn't really bother me all that much, and it's just, like, so weird that it's, like, really entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm not bothered by it. I kind of like that it did really badly, you know, obviously, in, you know, in the original, you know, when it was originally released in 1974, and it got, like, terrible reviews, other than a few. Like, there were a few good reviews that said, you know, maybe people just don't get it or whatever. But obviously, it's kind of gotten a reputation as a cult classic over the years. Just because you can just drop acid and watch this because it's just weird as shit. But there is actually a story in there, and there is actually interesting ideas in there.
Yeah.
So it's not just like weird for the sake of weirdness.
No, it's very intelligent. The movie's very intelligent. It's very ambitious. It's overreaching a lot. They don't quite have the budget and the technology to really pull this off, but they come close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needed better special effects in a couple scenes. Like I said, the crystal scene, and there needed to be a better explanation of what had happened in there. Some of the edit needed to be tightened up. The intro needs to fucking go.
Yeah, it's not necessary. They don't need it.
Yeah, I understand this movie was ahead of its time. So they were afraid of fucking... Of the audience, they were underestimating the audience. Like, the audience will never understand this. We have to have this. They made it worse by putting that on there.
Because it was kind of goofy.
It's goofy as fuck. Like, what kind of movie is this? Is a comedy? What the hell? You know what I mean? And then this real strong intro. Nah, should
with the head coming and stuff.
Yeah, should have started with that big, powerful fucking scene of that damn head coming out of the sky and people worshiping this thing. That would have been mind-blowing in the time that this came out. You're gonna be, well, what the fuck is
and
that?
And like I said, only in the first 10 or 15 minutes, yeah, you get the big head coming, you understand, okay, well, this is a god of whatever these people are.
Yeah.
And then so Sean Connery, like, stows away in the head, and then they introduce Arthur Frayn, who's so, you know, the same guy that... Yeah. So it was, like, in the first 10 minutes, and I was like, see, you didn't even need that.
You didn't need any of that shit.
I mean, and it was, like, a lot more mysterious because him coming out of the head and then being like, I could have showed you, I could have done this and that.
Yeah, that had
so
been,
he
like,
knew who
wow.
he was, and, like, right, the guy that just, like, and then Sean Connery just shoots him, and I'm just kind of like, see, that would have, like, set up mystery. What if you kind of, like, come in the beginning where he's basically saying, I'm a fake god, you're kind of, like, blowing your load, too. I mean, and plus it's kind of goofy. So I just, I didn't think it was necessary.
There were really only two mistakes in the movie, if you ask me, even for the time. The intro and the executioner's outfits. Back in the 70s, they could have done a fucking badass Mad Max looking executioner outfits, or you could have gone to stock Indian costumes from fucking Hollywood shit and dressed those up, dyed them black or something, and put them, and that would have made a great costume with that same mask and everything, and those guns. That would have been great.
Yeah, because those masks were kick ass.
The masks were kick ass. Yeah. And that would be like, wow, you know? And that would have, I think the red, it's almost, his outfit almost looks like the fucking red outfit from Vampirella. Remember the Vampirella?
Now that you mentioned it.
I'm like, why is she wearing a Vampirella costume? had they changed those two little things, that this movie, I think, would have caught on a lot faster. Would it have been a hit? No. But it would have been taken
It's too weird
It's too weird. It was too far ahead of its time in the concepts. I mean, somebody said, well, maybe Logan's Run was ahead of its time. This was even more out there than Logan's Run. But they got this shit off of reading that same kind of literature that, you know, Logan's Run and, you know, fucking Soylent Green and Planet of the Apes. It's coming from that type of literature.
Yeah.
Even though there was no book before. But he was reading something about transhumanism and breakaway civilizations and population control. And this is, you know, a direct result of reading those books, I can tell.
Oracle says they were swinging for the fences with Zardoz. Even if they failed, they tried to be different.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. If you're gonna, if the movie's gonna quote unquote fail in the sense of being a commercial failure, at least like try to make what you want to make, even if it's fucking weird. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So in that sense, he pretty much made what he wanted, and even though it took like a really long time, I think I was looking at the Wikipedia page, and BBC Four actually called this John Borman's best movie.
Excalibur was...
Well, I think Deliverance is his best movie. Yeah. But Excalibur's up there, too. We did review Excalibur. I know we did.
I think Excalibur's a masterpiece.
I love Excalibur.
It's like a masterpiece. That's just like reading fucking La Morte d'Arthur, you know? You might as well just read that. But this is like... You take that classic British mythology and you almost just make it a damn fucking religion. It's almost like a religious movie, watching Excalibur.
This kind, you know what? Zardoz kind of has a little bit of Arthurian kind of shit to it, too.
Yeah, it feels mythic.
Yeah.
And you know, I sit here and bag on the executioner costume, and it looked like Vampirella. Had they just changed the color to black, it would have looked a lot better.
Yeah. Maybe they thought that just the red stood out more.
They were trying to be sci-fi.
Yeah.
Or is that like it's, they're trying to make it look like the future.
Yeah.
When, you know... No, the future didn't look like that. No, that's not futuristic. You know?
Well,
a futuristic savage.
They didn't know what the future was going to look like in the 70s.
They thought
we were going to be wearing all kind of crazy shit.
Yeah, directly
in
inspired.
In the 2000s.
If you say, well, he's got to be a futuristic savage, then that's the kind of shit that's like something off a fucking Star Trek television program. Exactly off like that.
Yeah, this is it's kind of like it's kind of like Star Trek kind of went into some of this kind of shit too.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna say, like I said, for only $1.5 million, this movie looks pretty fucking cool. I mean, it probably helps that they shot most of it in Ireland.
Yeah.
Some of the same locations that they used for Excalibur, actually. Yeah. But I was reading that they were having trouble. Because they shot it in Ireland, and I guess so, like, a lot of the actresses didn't want to, you know, have their boobies hanging out, because that was kind of like, you know, but, you know, because there's a lot of boobies in this, there's a lot of nakedness. Yeah. And I was like...
Skinny girls mostly, though.
I was, like, particularly, like, laughing at the one scene where they're trying to, because, like I said, they don't have to have sex anymore, because they don't, you know, they don't reproduce.
Yeah, they're all kind of asexual.
Yeah, so they're just kind of, like, fascinated by it. Like, what, you know, so they're trying to, like, what makes, basically, what gives a dude an erection?
Yeah.
So they're, like, showing him, like, some porn, and he's just, like, looking at it and not,
you know. He looks at her, and his shit fucking pops up.
And everybody's, like, looking at it going, oh, wow, look at that.
Now, you see, funny. When Connery did that, to me, it was kind of corny. Now you're saying if it had been Burt Reynolds, it'd have made a lot more sense. That fucking dog.
Yeah.
Because he'd be sitting there fucking chewing gum. Yeah. Rocked up on you, baby.
Yeah. And everybody's just... Yeah. And it's just funny the way they're all just standing around looking at us. Like, looking at him getting
erection. Connery's too dignified to fucking go, yeah, I rocked up on you, baby. You know.
That is a funny fucking scene, though. I like the whole lead up to it, because I love that Charlotte Rampling is like kind of giving a sort of like lecture with the little cartoon penis, like you know, getting an erection and stuff. It's super funny. Oh my god, yeah, this is a weird ass movie, you guys. But it's the more times you watch, I guess this is true of any movie, but the more times you watch it, like the less weird it seems, like the more sense it seems to make. It does, like I said, it does make sense. It does have a story.
It would have not made as much sense to the general public back then.
Yeah, it makes more sense now.
It makes
I think.
A lot more sense. The concepts that they were talking about in this movie were decades ahead of what you would see in a movie. Population control and shit. Well, not really. Like I said, they kind of had that with Soylent Green.
Yeah.
But just having those topics portrayed in this way was ahead of fucking its time. You know? That you have guys out there actively hunting people down and killing them to get a high score back in the Vortex. And they're worshiping it as a god. But that's kind of how you would do it.
Fun fact, that one scene where Sean Connery shoots that one guy in the head that's cultivating the weed or whatever.
Yeah, real shit.
That was John Borman. That was the director.
Okay.
That was his cameo. He's like, I want Sean Connery to shoot me in the head.
Puff of smoke hit him in the head and blew it up. It's just, man, that blank shot fucking.
Yeah, that was a good effect, actually. Wow. But I didn't even realize, but yeah, that's John Borman. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of funny that he wanted that to be his cameo.
Yeah, and they show kind of like a flashback to the apocalypse when all these fucking people were banging on the outer shield wall trying to get into the vortex, and they're screaming and they look all starving and everything. And that one woman, weird looking woman who's screaming and crying, is the same one out of Excalibur who was screaming and crying when the whole fucking...
It's a screaming and crying lady.
Don't you remember that? When Lancelot became the fucking the cult leader who was just walking the earth fucking saying, give up, it's the end is near. Remember that? And everybody's back there wailing and everything. Did you remember that scene?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
It's that same woman in there. She's got the weird-ass looking teeth and that real long head. Ah! He must know that woman. He's like, yeah, as weird as you look, man, we're going to put you back in this fucking movie again. She looks like she's just starving to death.
Yeah, that's funny. If that's as an actor, that's kind of your whole resume.
She's the screaming, crying.
I'm the screaming, starving woman.
Starving to death woman.
Like you look at her IMDb page, and it's all like starving woman, starving woman, starving.
Starving woman. Well, she's real long. Her skull's real long.
Or occasionally wicked witch.
Yeah, real long teeth and lots of gums.
Yeah,
you know, she looks like her fucking, and she looks insane. But she's in this movie, too. But, I liked it. It was a good movie.
Oracle said something, maybe something like the Warriors gang outfits in The Warriors.
Yeah, that might have worked. Yeah.
John Gora says, there's an unwatchable Vampirella movie from the early 90s.
Really?
Was there? Wait, was Pam Anderson in that?
God, I hope so.
God, I hope so.
She'd make an awesome Vampirella. She could fill that
Roger
costume
Daltrey
out.
Is in it.
She could fill that costume out.
Well, now I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
I mean, I know she was in Barbed Wire, so I don't know if I'm confusing those two things.
She couldn't act.
Well, no.
You know.
But she had big titties. So,
she had big titties and she was pretty. She had a good personality. She was funny. That fucking, they accidentally leaked that damn porn or heard fucking Tommy Lee on that damn boat.
I mean, you know, back in the day, it's like, you know, it's never.
They were the ones that broke that. They were the ones that first started that. Listen, accidentally released this fucking.
Whoops. How'd that get out there?
How did our homemade porn get out there? They fucking.
Oh my gosh, now I have all this publicity. I don't know what to do about it. It's pretty clever when you think about it.
Man, you got Tommy Lee was fucking huge. God damn.
I don't even remember watching that. Did I?
Like a fucking donkey.
Yikes.
Yeah. He was no joke.
Pat Hatfield said, I just got here, but I'm assuming you already mentioned that this was originally supposed to star Burt Reynolds. Yes,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It needed Burt Reynolds. I mean, we got what we got. He did a good job. But Burt Reynolds, it makes a lot more sense. It would have made a lot more sense with Burt Reynolds in it.
Now I'm kind of wondering if Sean Connery just happened to have that same mustache, because, you know, 70s, or if they told him, why don't you grow a big-ass mustache?
I bet you
Burt Reynolds.
They're going to have him, he's going to impersonate Burt Reynolds for us. No, but it makes more sense that it would have been Burt Reynolds. He would be that little stocky kind of savage and fucking swagger and shit to him. He was not as... Burt Reynolds is kind of dignified, if you ask me. He doesn't come across as a...
You mean Sean Connery?
Excuse me, Sean Connery. Yeah. Sean Connery's kind of fucking...
Well, because he was James Bond.
Yeah, he's a little too dignified for this role. He doesn't come across as a savage. But Burt Reynolds good. Yeah, he can do that.
I can see that. It might have worked better with somebody that was a little bit more of a bruiser.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Somebody who didn't take shit seriously and just had some strut. That's right, babe. That made a lot more
swinging
sense.
A dick around.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he'd have liked that costume though. Those costumes were a big mistake.
Well, didn't Burt Reynolds pose nude in Playgirl or something?
Yeah, they did hit Playgirl.
Yeah, I thought he did.
And it was,
I remember hearing
it was
about
the only
that.
Issue that sold.
Probably. Well, to straight women anyway. Probably.
Yeah.
Thank you, camp guy. OT guy here. Didn't see the movie, so I just spew. Okay, that's fine. You haven't seen Zardoz?
No, you gotta see that one.
Get some drugs. and get some drugs and watch this movie. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, but if you just got here, we said that the movie does make sense. You just ignore the intro in the beginning and just fucking watch.
Yeah, because the intro has got
tacked on, which kind of fucks it up. Just fucking watch the damn movie and pay attention to it. Have the subtitles on so it's easier to keep track of what's happening. It makes perfect sense. And it's a lot of good ideas in it. It's like up there with Logan's Run. Crazier than Logan's Run. More ambitious.
Oh, big time.
A lot more ambitious than Logan's Run.
Big time.
More of a mind fuck. But the technologies they're talking about and the concepts that they were talking about were decades ahead. It's like what you're talking about now.
Yes.
Internets, fucking implants, downloading fucking consciousnesses into a computer and then putting it into a clone so you could come back to life. Transhumanism, genetic engineering, selective breeding, fucking population control, kind of like a controlled collapse of civilization, breakaway civilizations. Then the breakaway civilization evolves into a new species that uses the original fucking civilization as basically slaves. But they're not happy in the breakaway civilization because it's not naturalistic. You know, their lust for life is gone. It's a good movie.
Pat asked, is this movie based on a book or series of books? No. This is actually an original story by John Borman, the director. Yeah. As I mentioned, who also did Deliverance and Excalibur.
Yeah.
And Exorcist 2. Sorry.
He made another... Exorcist 2 now.
We can watch it if you want.
Right? You said it sucks, huh? Okay.
I mean, yeah. You probably should see it. I feel like you should see it. You'd probably like it, because you always seem to like... Like, you know, you seem to like movies that everyone else thinks are terrible.
Yeah.
But I kind of, I remember I saw it a couple years back because I was going to give it another chance because I was like, well, maybe it's not as bad as I remember. And I was like, it's kind of as bad as I remember. Exorcist 3 is awesome, but Exorcist 2, I don't know. I can't really think of any person that... Because, you know, there's always that one person that's like, no matter how shitty the movie is and how much everybody hates it, there's always going to be that one person that defends it. I mean, I'm sure there's one out there. I've just never seen one. So, but you should see it just for cultural edification. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you've seen the first one and you've seen the third one, both of which are awesome. Second one, not so much. So... You know what? You'd probably dig it because it has to do with, like, fucking... Linda Blair's in it.
Yeah.
And she goes to, like, some kind of parapsychology kind of clinic or something.
We'll see it.
So, maybe we can watch that later.
But no, I could recommend Zardoz. It's worth renting. It's not a perfect movie. It's got problems. It didn't have to do with the director, though. They made him put that damn intro in the beginning. Without that intro, it would have just been a strong movie through the whole thing. It's got a weird edit at the end. It starts to get a little bit ponderous. This could be re-edited. A fucking really good director's cut of this, would be great.
What if they're ever going to remake this?
Really, you know, even with the movie as given, I would just re-edit, get rid of that fucking intro. And the only thing I would change is just... The costumes on the executioners. I'd have them more look like something out of Mad Max or Apaches or something like that with those damn fucking masks on. I love the masks.
Yeah, those masks are awesome.
It's mostly just the boots and the fucking little red diapers. That I was like, what the heck? That's a weird... They kind of look like some kind of weird Persian or Indian fucking shorts. What they look like. Like something that you would go... bathe in the Gandhis with.
That's what I mean. Well, they kind of look like Speedos.
Yeah.
They're slightly larger than Speedos.
No, yeah, and they had pleats and shit on them. Yeah. Down the Ganges River. You know, some shit.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Something that a fakir would have on. Fucking doing a flute with the fucking cobra coming up.
Climbing up the rope.
Climbing up a rope and shit. Yeah, something like that.
Camp Guy said, I have subtitles on for everything I watch. Yeah, I do too nowadays. Because otherwise, I mean, like I said, my hearing's not great. I can hear people talking, but sometimes it just sounds like... Rah, 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 rah. So it's nice to, like, not miss anything. So I actually put it on for everything.
I could remake this bitch.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it probably should be at some stage.
And I wouldn't change much.
No, I don't think much needs to be changed about it. It would be very, very minor changes.
Yeah, a lot would just be special effects, cool-ass CG, the flying head, certain things that happen. A couple little things about the dialogue. That'd trick up the technology a little bit. Some of the stuff didn't really...
I mean, I love the look of the flying head. I think you should leave that the same, because that's really kick-ass
looking. Wouldn't change anything with that. Maybe have something with, like, lasers coming out of its eyes to make it look more impressive, you know what I mean?
I think that the face is, like, kind of scary, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, I mean, that I would, like, fucking shit a brick if that big fucking giant head
I would came. Make the head say some more things. Because, you know, it does say some things, but I would make it say a little bit more. Trippy shit, you know? Yeah. The gun is... the penis... The gun is good. The penis is evil. The penis shoots seeds that create men.
Pew, pew, pew.
That putrefy the earth. The gun shoots death.
John Gora says, Linda Blair was super cute in Exorcist 2. Terrible movie, but... Yeah, she was actually really cute in that. Louis says, probably the worst sequel to a classic movie. The Exorcist 2 is a train wreck.
Yeah,
I agree. But, like I said, Tom should probably see it.
Linda Blair probably missed a fucking good career opportunity in porn, actually, I think.
She was in a lot of kind of softcore stuff. She was in a lot of those kind of like women in prison movies. She was in a lot of TV movies.
Kind of dumb. She
was in Hell Night.
Yeah.
That slasher
movie. The way society was at the time, you couldn't do porn and keep your reputation intact. So,
yeah, nowadays nobody gives a shit, which is nice. Nobody gives a shit. You know, but back then that would like ruin your whole fucking life.
Right.
Pretty much.
Well, no, some of them are still around. It's just that's the only thing you could do.
That's you couldn't go straight. I mean, Tracy Lords is the only one
that did movies
that actually went.
She got kicked out of porn for being underage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, she had a different situation, but she actually went on to be in like quote unquote real movies.
Yeah, she was in Blade. She looked good. She looked great too. She married just a regular guy, a bartender, who didn't know who she was.
That's great. That's cool, though.
He didn't know who she was until later.
I just saw her in, a movie I reviewed last week, Excision, which I think came out in 2012 or 2014 or something like that. She was in that, too.
Yeah.
John Waters was in it, too.
Yeah.
Because she was in a lot of those John Waters movies. Like she was
cute.
She was in Crybaby.
Yeah, she was cute.
Man, that's another one I want to see again. That John Waters movie, Crybaby. Did you ever see that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, Tracy Lords is in it. Johnny Depp is in it, like, when he was real young. It's good. Man, I love John Waters. But, she hosted World's Scariest Places. Huh. What do you know? All right. So, we've been going, like, almost an hour.
It's time to go ahead and shut it down. That's all we can say about it. I recommend a movie. It's worth $3.99. You can rent it on Amazon Prime.
That's where we got it.
Yeah, if you don't have that, you can probably... Yeah, I think it's also on YouTube. You can rent it on YouTube.
Yeah, you can.
Fun movie. It's up there with, like, Ron.
If you like weird 70s shit, it's totally worth watching.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, and it's not crazy. I mean, it's insane, but it makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense. It's logical. A lot of good ideas in it. It's just it was ahead of its time. It was overambitious.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
So we'll be back tomorrow, either talking about Orca, or if we watch Exorcist 2, we'll maybe talk about that. So it'll be one of those two movies, probably. Thanks everybody for dropping by. Thanks for super chats, and we will see you guys again tomorrow afternoon.